I love microdosing.
I love microdosing.
Yesterday, I needed to go practice my drums, and I popped a little microdose gummy, and I'll tell you what happened. I drummed for about a good 2 hours.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I was looking at our new roof, hoping that it wasn't going to leak, and I got some anxiety about it, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a gummy just to calm down so I can go to sleep and not worry about this. And I did, and I had a great night's sleep, and I woke up, and there was no leak.
I've noticed a change in you for a positive change.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. I feel like your mood is like very centered.
I'm sleeping much better.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just that right amount of good.
And you can get 30% off your first order, plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code PANTS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code PANTS for 30% off and free shipping.
Microdose.com, promo code PANTS.
You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord. And others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Pants. This is a special one because we recorded it live on the internet. Is that what you say?
We did a virtual show.
We did with Looped, the greatest company, made it so much fun. And we got to meet people that listened to the show and we recapped it. No, and we recapped it on a camera. So you get to really see, you got to see what we do.
Yeah.
And it was super fun.
We had the best time.
We really did.
That was fun.
We hung up those microphones and we said, let's do that again.
Absolutely. Looped made it possible. All right. And now let's get into Locked Up.
Let's lock it up.
Let's lock it in with Locked Up.
Pants.
We met an oncologist. I asked her about my chronic back pain.
You did a lot of doctor visits last night.
I mean, use them if you got them.
You're like, I have this lower back.
I have chronic back pain. Do you have any suggestions? And she sort of looked at me like, well.
Counting down. She's like, thanks for
well, she's also thinking like, yeah, you might want to get that looked
60
at.
60 seconds of your problem.
There's
lawyers.
Linguistic therapists.
Mm-hmm.
I was told I had a lisp. I am right.
You knew.
Well, I would like to hear it from a professional. And
she said, yes, you do sound like you talk like marbles in your mouth to me. She verified.
I don't think you talk like you have marbles in your mouth.
Ask her. Anyway, we got off.
There was also a doctor who, anyways.
Anyway, and we got off these and I was like, what's with all the smart people listening to Pants?
I realized what it is.
No, we thought of it together.
You all operate on such a high frequency that you need to turn your brains off at some point and listen to these two bozos for an hour once a week. Right?
It's like shutting off. It's like a really good cocktail or something. What else?
Well, why don't we talk about what we're wearing?
Oh, yeah.
We finally have it.
So we're wearing different colors.
We have a couple colors here. We have a sweatshirt up here.
We sound like salesmen.
Well, it's housekeeping. People are like, it's housekeeping.
Okay.
And also, we had been talking about merch.
No, I know.
It finally happened.
We're doing this to each other.
It finally happened.
We got
the merch.
We did. Yours is an ombre.
A light ombre, and yours is a hot pink.
Yeah,
I looks
love
like
hot pink.
Gum,
I always
bubble
have.
Gum.
We like our merch. We're really happy with it, and
I'm going to say
available.
The cotton. Is a good quality too.
It is. It feels cozy and it's light.
I know what we sound like.
I heard it. I heard it.
You heard it too?
I was like, what do we sound like? Yes. To me. It's the two women.
Who's
talking about food?
Oh, no.
I was like, oh my God.
We sound like the two from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, the food.
Yes.
Yes.
Sweaty balls.
I heard it.
Who's Anna Gasteyer and who's Molly Shannon?
I don't know, but I was like, we sound like someone.
It's killing
it
me.
Hit me.
I said yesterday when we were doing tech, I said I felt like we were newscasters and no one listened. And do you get it
newscasters,
now?
Newscasters, we wish. That
but
would be.
But do you know what I mean?
I heard it. I didn't know what it was until you said we sound like, and then it hit me.
It was like,
yeah, real good.
We're sitting very, very close together.
My knees are hitting yours.
If we were to ever hook up, this would be the time. So there's suites on the right, and we've done this for you. Okay. A lot of you have called in. You're like, how do I meet people? How do I meet women? We don't know, but we know that we can make you suites. And so if you go to the right, there's different names. Pick whatever you like. I personally would go to the Lumberyard.
Me too.
That would be mine.
I would too.
You would?
Yep.
See you there.
See you there.
And you can meet other people. And how fun is that? What if we make an actual...
like dating site?
No, like a connection. What if we make a connection? For people, what if it happened?
It might happen.
The suites, yes. They're fun.
It was fun to come up with the names.
Yeah, but I would like if people actually met in there.
And they might.
Fell in love or something.
They might.
And then at their wedding, they could say, you know how we met? No one will know what the fuck they're talking about. A what? For who?
What's it called? Pants.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll take the invite to the wedding.
We'll bring some cans. No, we'll take the credit.
Okay, but.
We'll take the credit.
I would like to be invited. I'll come. Invite me. I have a sip.
All right, well.
Okay, so the reason we're here is because we watched episode.
We are going to recap.
Episode 12.
Or 13 on Hulu. It is called Locked Up. Written by Eileen Chaykin and directed by Lynn Stopkowicz.
Stopkowicz.
Yeah. And I think she did one a few episodes earlier.
She did one later.
No, she did one earlier.
Okay.
We had worked with her before, is my point. Yeah. Anyway, this is a bonkers episode.
This was like...
insane.
I was kind of happy we were barely in it. Although I do think they maybe underused us in the prison because we weren't seeing it in a cell.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Because I have a memory.
Should we start with the cold open?
With the dolphin fucking?
Yeah. So the little tiny penis came out.
I can't believe you think those things are small. I had the opposite reaction.
Oh, I guess
These are the most well-endowed dolphins. I mean, I've never seen a dolphin dick.
I thought that was so tiny compared to their body size.
Okay, wait a minute.
Okay, if you took it out of context if you just saw the penis, like with no dolphin, maybe it's huge. But next to a dolphin body.
I think they were pretty big.
Really?
I did. How about the whole episode are about fucking manatees? So why is there a dolphin?
I wish we could get Eileen on here right now and explain what the fuck the manatee thing was, why it started, because I think it lasts for a while.
I just don't get it. Like, were the manatees, like, were they having contract problems? Were they divas not coming out of their trailer? They're like, just bring in the dolphins.
I wondered like, that, too. I was like, if it's a manatee episode, what's with the dolphin?
You see a manatee, and he's kind of rolling on by. He was the only one who came out of his trailer that day.
At the end.
But the dolphins...
It's going to be about me in about 5 minutes.
Manatee's like, I'll be a team player.
I know.
But I didn't get the dolphin thing.
Well, I think dolphins are very lesbian. They were back in the 50s and 60s. Like, yeah, I remember my Aunt Maureen had...
I never understood
something,
that dolphin maybe she crossover.
Did. Yeah, it was happening for a minute, dolphins. Okay. So maybe Eileen's like, we must talk about dolphins.
Okay.
But... turns out she didn't talk about manatees.
Oh, also, did you realize those dolphins? It was the first thruple on the L word.
I didn't.
Sorry, you don't get the credit.
There was?
Yep. You don't get the throne.
First of all, Bette and Tina had the first threesome. Dolphin second. Not Allison, Gigi third.
I don't know. I'm going to give credit to the dolphins.
I'm sure there's more before we get to the reboot. Can't be the only threesomes. Okay, so, all right, we did dolphin penis. Then we open up on you and your cute little face sitting at the planet.
I think this whole conversation could have been avoided if we just knew how old this character Clea was to begin with.
I can't believe we're still
I don't know
Clea,
how old she is.
And you're like, listen, I can't. What do you say all the time? Hold on. Oh, I wrote it down.
What is it?
Listen, I like you. And then you give
it. I like a lot of people.
And then you diss him. Listen, I like you.
Oh, she got dissed?
Yeah, I hope so, because she was a child. But you had to let her down, and she's like, but can I, but who do you like, and what, how do you, like a teenager, and you're,
Not once in this conversation was, and how old are you?
Or this is inappropriate. Also, Kit walks by. She seems fine with it. We're all just like, that's Shane.
Also, how about the amount of people she has slept with? How is she still alive?
Well, first of all, not only is it the amount of people you slept with, but that you know that's the amount of people you slept with. You're like somewhere between 950 and 1200.
She's like the Janine girl.
Which is a big gap. She's to be like, counting and she's then like lose the your way.
You ever see Reality Bites with Janine Garofalo?
Of course I saw
Every
that.
Time she sleeps with a guy and he leaves, she's like, get out. And then she starts writing down his name. Was she doing that?
But
the whole
at 950, you lost count. And then you're like, I guess it's been around 1200 at this point.
I don't know.
By the way,
The whole conversation the whole scene could have been avoided if we just knew how old this girl was.
I wish someone else told you how many people you slept with. I wish Shane didn't know. It made me a little like.
That would have been a good scene. Over how many.
Yeah.
It would have been you.
Definitely. Definitely would have been me. I would know. Maybe we talk about it later.
No, we don't.
Okay. Well, I think that's gross.
It is.
I thought of like STDs. I thought of herpes. I thought of like
whole thing.
Mouth sores.
That's why I'm asking, how is she still alive?
Yeah, it's a good question. And you're like, I was a whore on the streets. Oh, and she's like, that sounds cool.
Don't forget about that charming element as well.
Oh my God, that sounds so cool.
Oh my God, that's so hot. Tell me more.
Okay.
All right, then Kit.
Then. Kit and Marina. Okay, so
wait
Marina's-
a second. Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Make this clear to me.
Okay. I'll try.
Is the planet a thriving business or is it failing?
It's thriving, but in order for Marina to purchase the planet, that's a lot.
Then hold on. Then
and
answer
is she purchasing the building?
But I need you to answer my question. It drives me crazy.
I know.
If it's doing well, why does Francesca not want it?
She doesn't want Marina anymore. Marina then has to be alone and is financially dependent on Francesca. Uh-oh, I need the business.
The planet's financial health is a true mystery, but I will say so is Dana's bar, so I have no room to talk. Because I don't even know how well
Dana's... In reality, there was a coffee shop in Los Angeles called Little Frida's. Which I think kind of it was based on, because I asked Eileen way back then, because for me, that was my reference. And I was like, is it Little Frida's? And she's like, sort of. But my band at the time, The Murmurs, played so many Save Little Frida's benefits. And every lesbian came, not just for the band, but just like, we got to save Little Frida's. And we were up on stage, just like, everyone put money in the cup. And it was real. So Marina should have thought of that.
Did you make a dent?
It didn't last, but I think it lasted another year, a couple of years, and then it was out. It was gone.
Well,
we did our best, though.
The main point is that and
Marina,
this is a good point.
She needs money.
Well, not only that, but more importantly, it's financial abuse from Francesca. Talk about a controlling.
Financial abuse.
Yeah,
is that like
it's
a thing?
Right here, financial abuse. And
yes,
but is
it that
is.
Like
it's
technically a psychological term?
Yes.
I could see how that is a thing.
It's a psychological.
I think
like,
a lot of people
control.
I think a lot of people, maybe just in this town, I don't know, but like, are into it. They're like, that's not abuse. That's just like, I'm being taken care
of.
Not
if it's like if someone's lording something over your head that they can, you know, snatch away and then give it to you.
Yeah.
Like, and then you're always on the edge of your seat wondering if it's
that's abuse.
I mean, everybody like I see it. That's what it is. But
yeah, empower yourselves. Right. That's the message.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. But Marina, she seems a little, what is she turning into? Because then does Robin walk by yet?
She's
Am
turning
I jumping?
It, you're jumping.
Okay.
She's turning desperate, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
So Tim and Jenny, they're having
a bunch of bread and they're like bonding over,
well, they're in good
dates.
They're in good standing. Like, yeah. I think the dust has settled between them.
Definitely.
Best part of the scene is that without any sense of irony, Jenny is sharing the fact that she's created a new story about a girl who can't speak but is learning the language of manatees. And Tim is all of us because he cannot hold in a smile and he's dying inside.
I know. He looked up at he took a sip of his beer and he looked up like, my God.
And I'm sure everyone else did at the time when they watched it.
He asked about her writing. It's his fault.
Well, I'm just saying, Tim's face spoke for all of us.
Then he said something about his teaching degree. I don't know. And then something about the swimmer girlfriend. Yeah, I didn't care.
Don't care.
And then we're out of that scene.
But then at the planet, the next time, it's
nighttime.
And I have a question.
Okay.
And I'm asking this. This is a genuine question. Are drag kings a thing? Because
yes.
I had never.
Kate.
Leisha, no, I'm serious. I had never heard of them before or after the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had. For sure. Yeah, of course. Drag queens, drag kings.
Oh, I know all about drag queens with RuPaul and RuPaul's Drag Race.
We'd like to have some too.
But I don't.
It's a thing.
Is it a thing?
It's a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And so this is, so all of a sudden Kit, I think is, they never really talked about it, but she's kind of taking over the musical side of the planet, even though Marina still owns it.
Yeah.
And so she has Kit, I think, throws a night.
And when the scene opens, there's that, what's that drag king's name?
Ivan.
No. No, Phil Mikalkin. That's who it was. The drag king who's starting off the night. That girl, I don't know if you remember, but she actually used to be an extra on the show, and she would play day players, and she was with us throughout the entire.
I remember.
Remember?
Yeah,
super
of course.
Sweet girl.
Yeah.
Anyway, she killed it.
Killed it. She did like a cowboy thing,
and it looked like she was having the best time.
She did. She was like, "This is I'm going to put my character on TV."
But then we meet Ivan Acock, right? Ivan Acock. And that is played by,
I mean, you say it, Kelly Lynch.
Kelly Lynch, who is.
What an incredible woman. Oh my God. We were all just like. Ooh.
One of the sexiest,
coolest
people I've ever met.
Just rad woman. And she was so excited to play this part. And I remember when she was in the hair and makeup trailer, and they even like Paul and Joanne were excited to make this character all together. They did this Ivan.
Oh, she was fully committed.
Yeah. She had so much fun.
Oh, she had swagger for days. And she was playing, you got to appreciate this. Who she was, because I was, who is this? When she was singing that song, the song didn't sound familiar. And she was doing a song from a band called Mink DeVille. Mm-hmm. And she was dressed up as the lead singer named Willie DeVille. And Mink DeVille was a real punk band from the late 70s in New York. They were the house band at CBGB's for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And credit for like the deep cuts of punk rock.
Yeah. No, she looks like a cool rockabilly.
And I wonder if that came from Kelly or Eileen.
Don't know. I'm going to go Kelly.
Or,
only because she's cool and I feel like she would know things like that. So she's great. She introduces herself to Kit. They hit it off.
And also Ivan's a real gentleman.
I know. She's like, get up for this woman, for this lady. It was cool. Pretty hot. Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's all that happens. And you and I are having a good, we're watching.
Let's get into
our background work.
We were great.
I think we were really happy. Because that was when like they told us like, okay, we're gonna start having musical acts at the planet. And we're like, oh, that's cool. And we're starting to like pitch bands that should come play for the next season or whatever.
Did we get anyone we pitched?
Sleater-Kinney.
We pitched Sleater-Kinney.
I did, yeah.
What about, was Peaches one of our
Peaches
ideas?
Peaches was one of ours. Obviously, like Tegan and Sarah were our friends and we're like, get them on.
Goldfrapp was it?
I loved Goldfrapp back
then. Me too, but I don't think that
came
from us.
I don't know if we pitched it.
B-52s wasn't us.
Well, that's next season. We're really skipping, but like, this was our first like, okay, you guys are going to start like, sitting in the audience watching like people at the planet. And we were like, all right, cool.
And okay, then we see Marina making a beeline to Robin.
She is
sniffing out the competition with no shame.
It's like eye on the prize. She did that to Jenny.
Yeah.
So I was like, so now they're going to retell this side of Marina, which I so enjoyed how they did it.
Yeah.
Because it was hilarious. And she did the same tricks, the same moves.
Yeah.
And they fell flat.
Everything.
And it was funny.
All of her party tricks didn't work.
I know, but I need to get into her party tricks.
We'll get into it.
She found her next prey.
Yes.
Okay. Then we're back with Tim. Jenny tells Tim about Robin. She's got a date. Wait a minute.
No.
Hold on. Did they meet? How did she meet Robin?
At the party before.
At the party before.
So when she was having dinner with Tim, she said, hey, can I have the place? I want to make a niçoise salad. That's all I can afford. And he said, yeah, sure. That's my night out with the friends.
Yeah. I found it interesting. I was like, a niçoise salad for a date is odd. Because I find chewing to be the hardest thing on a date. Do you? Or do I just get nervous to chew?
Well, you're aware of yourself. You're self-conscious.
Yeah, so it's like the more you have to crunch. So I think like a salad with
like a big awkward bite. The big awkward bite of something.
A spaghetti never. Because then you're like twirling it and it's like hanging out of your mouth. You got to suck it up. But the niçoise salad has like crunchy green beans. Not like overly cooked ones that you could really like get rid of fast. It's like crunch, 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 crunch. You're like, Oh, yeah? It might be a lot.
Okay.
And you're like, God, now I got to get to the tuna and the tomatoes. I have a lot left. Hard potatoes.
You go through a lot on your first dates.
No, I'm saying a niçoise salad. It was an odd, whatever. I'm not Jenny.
But the next day, we see Bette and Tina. And Tina has a life.
Oh, my God. Here we go again with the bad communication.
But wait a second.
Yelled at the TV.
I didn't yell at the TV. I just realized that the L word tells time differently than everybody else in the world.
They do.
Can we talk?
It does.
Tina's going to court, and then she's starting a
nonprofit.
She's starting an organic food co-op.
An organic farm.
And I can barely run six errands, depending on traffic and where
you're not Tina. The thing is, Bette has held Tina back, and she's like, you're going to be the mama. You're going to like have the kids. I'm going to go make the money. This is obviously the agreement they worked out. Now the baby's been lost, and Tina's like, I'm back. I have a purpose. I love Oscar. I love everything we're doing at this place. And sorry, Bette, what? No, I don't have your dry cleaning. I don't have it.
Yeah, Bette doesn't like it.
And she doesn't like it. But every time they have a scene for the couple that is supposed to be the most bonded couple, how does Bette not know about any of these projects that Tina has? She knows nothing.
As Eileen Chaykin used to say, blow it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's good.
And it's going to happen.
Here's what's good about what Eileen does. She's like, she doesn't let anything sit around too long.
Mm-mm.
It's not like a bunch of like repeat episodes where people talk about the same shit. And like, you're like, I know I've seen that. I saw that like three episodes ago. And like that kind of writing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Eileen used to. Yeah. So if like somebody like fell in love, like, but they should blow it up,
burn it down.
And it keeps you on the edge of your seat.
It does. It's good soap opera TV.
Okay. Okay. So where are we now, Kate?
We're at Aaron, Dana's house.
We are. Oh,
and
God.
Dana is the most accurate portrayal of a lesbian cat owner.
Yes. So it was on. My girlfriend was in the kitchen today, and because she didn't see the last episode where she was giving instructions before we went to Palm
Springs.
That's
unfortunate.
And I was like, listen, I turned around. I was like, I kind of like threw you under the bus the other day. And I was like, you're a little bit like Dana with the cats. And she laughed. But she was laughing already hysterically to the way Aaron was talking to her cat.
You know, before I came over here, you know, because I obviously I'm not going to bring him with me. I had to talk to Charlie because I was leaving a little earlier than what she's used to. And I had a whole conversation about how
it's going to be a long night.
It's going to be a long night.
Without
I need
mom.
You to be patient. I'm going to be home.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be upset.
I'm a cat lover.
Take
now.
Take care of your sister. Don't let your sister eat you. Like the whole
That's
thing.
That's a good. Yeah. It's they're great. And Mr. Pittles is
who
just
cast
a heartbreaker.
Who cast Mr. Pittles?
I don't
Pittles?
Know, but they really found him.
Killed it in the cat casting.
I love him. And I love him because she loves him. And I just love everything about it.
However, Tanya.
It's so good. And she's just like,
when
this woman leaves, this cat's dead.
Not only that, but the second Dana leaves the house, she picks up the phone and says, you won't believe
who
I am.
You're not
going to
believe who I am. So good. So LA.
And also.
So LA.
That happens.
Oh, my God. The star fucking in this town.
Yeah, but that sort of shameless.
Yeah, shameless
star fucking.
You won't believe
who's calling me, where I'm sleeping. It sadly exists.
Ladies, we can all bond over this one. Imagine a bra that you actually want to wear. They're hard to find. We all know it. We've been through how many bra
many.
Brands? Ugh. And you're like, I like this about it, but not this. Or they're just uncomfortable. Well, today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. It's real. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat. Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing lift. It's cool. It's like these little, I can't even describe it, like these little bone things. And it's like, I don't know how they do it, but it's brilliant. Plus, they've made fabric that's so soft, it feels like second skin. So you immediately feel and see the difference. So it's next level comfortable.
Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/pants. Now, after you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please, please support our show and tell them Pants sent you. Honeylove.com/pants. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are we done with that page? No, you got CAC.
You
went over CAC.
Oh, shit. God
so we're over at CAC. Bet is, her shirt's untucked. And
Candace moved up to a tool belt.
Hold on. I have things right now that I need to deal with.
Sorry. Let me tell your mom.
Now, Bet's on the phone. James is like, Bet, there's protesters outside.
Mm.
And the cops are outside. The cops come. Okay, here we go. So there are a couple of things about the scene that bother me to a degree.
Well, the tool belt is one of them, right?
I have to talk about it. And it brought things up. Okay. I have props. I'm sorry. I had to. I didn't want to tell you.
Oh, was this a secret surprise? Oh, no.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Hey, Candace.
This is what she does. This is what she does. She puts it here. And yeah, there was a tool belt with three things.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the front. This is not what you do.
What are you doing with the fires?
Then this is the big thing. Then she goes, she leans in and they do that thing, lean in with me. And they're like talking. They're like going over the plans. And she's like,
are you talking about the most electrified hand touch in the history of television?
But then she's got the plans and she's like, so I'm thinking.
God, yeah. No,
but she's just like, I'm thinking there's a load bearing wall.
I can't do this.
Right. There's a load bearing wall right here. So I'm thinking we could do the Shoshi.
The Shoshi screens.
And then I look down at her tool belt. After she says load bearing wall and she's got plans across the desk, this is her tool belt. And I was like, okay, I'm going to fucking throw some in the TV. And I was like, I need to go see if I have that in my garage. Because I couldn't believe it. Thank you for letting me really describe my hatred for this character. Okay, I'm back. I'm back. Oh, God. I feel better. I got it off my chest.
Is it okay?
Yeah, just feel like people really needed to understand.
Well, speaking of your favorite character, she's not only a carpenter, but she also knows how to create a line of defense. What is her backstory? If there was a zombie apocalypse, that's who I'd want with me.
She can
whittle you a bunker and make you some tools and then create a line of defense to fight off all the zombies and killer vampires in the world, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Fucking Candace.
I don't know if I believe in her that much.
I don't either, but that stuck out to me.
So she, is really, really getting to bed. It's working. There's no thought of Tina. There's no sign of Tina. It's just, it's all Candace. And Bette can't, she's just like, she doesn't know what to do.
I think it was the French braid.
Stop. That character. I don't know what it is.
Unbelievable. I don't either.
Okay. I think it's just because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, she's assertive. We talked about that. Last week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then once we leave CAC, we're back at the planet.
Of course.
with Marina's poor attempt at wooing.
Oh, yeah, this is it. Okay, good. So she's like, here comes Robin. Robin couldn't care less. She's like, okay. And she comes in with a, have you read the book? Have you read the book? What book? The, what is it? The something of Ethos? The Egypt of...
The Whispers of Ethos? Doesn't matter. Is she trying to find a is she a, this is she a recruiter for her book club? Like, she, I feel like she's
but
always...
not only that,
Eros
but just,
is bittersweet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does she have another book that she's... Is this the only book?
It's the only fucking thing she's ever read.
It's the only thing she's read. And that's the funny thing.
And then she's
we've all learned.
And then
about
somebody
her.
Comes over and drops something off, and she goes, "Grazie, Geppetto."
Is that what she said?
Yeah, Rosetta Stone.
Did you? Are you sure?
I rewound it 3 times.
It sounded longer than that.
No.
Oh, I'm so glad. So, what does it mean?
Thank you, Geppetto. That's it.
Robin's like, "You're welcome."
She's like, "Great." So you.
Woo. Okay. So Marina's. It's nothing's working.
Thank God. It shouldn't either, because it's bad. It's just bad.
She should get like a pocket-sized version of that if she's going to really go from club to club with that bittersweet book. You know what I mean? Like a little tiny pocket-sized one. Okay, so then we're back at the CAC. So Bette leaves. So she leaves, and all of a sudden everybody does what Candace told them to do, and we all link arms. And my favorite
thing... Well, how about the fact that you and I, mercifully, we don't work. Well, we can just roll on up.
Kate, we showed up out of nowhere. There was no, obviously, phone call.
If this
we,
was...
All of a sudden, we're just running up. And I wanna, we link arms. Like, we know that the we know what we've planned on.
Where
doing.
Do you think the CAC is? And if you were to say this, that's the part of town it's in, what part of town do you think that would be?
I mean, I would have to say downtown because it the buildings.
Okay, I equate CAC to the Hammer Museum for whatever reason.
Well,
because
I think
of the
character's based on...
But that's on the west side.
It is very west
side. So one way or another, either the place is on the west side or the place is downtown. And this show takes place in West Hollywood. Anyone who doesn't live in LA, kind of far. So if you're being called like, hey, can you show up to a protest? In real life, you
and say, she just you, learned the dance, you, the arm dance.
But more importantly, when you're calling your friends saying, hey, I can use your help, your friends would be like, what time?
I'm like, kind of busy.
Well, not only that, but like, oh, that's rough on rush hour. It's such a bitch around 4 o'clock. Yeah. Is it happening before 4?
It took you forever to get here today.
Like maybe I can like, work you in between the dry cleaning and the bank. Like it's
totally.
You don't just stop, drop and roll.
No, listen, I'm with this contractor. And I've learned this arm linking thing and I need you now. And
if we
literally run up.
If you can promise me it's going to be over by 3:30, just so I can beat traffic going to the east side again. I mean, it's just,
It's unrealistic.
Amazing. It's L-word time. It's the L-word clock.
It's L-word. It's an L-word city, too, because everything's close. Anyway, then Ivan shows up with Kit. Everybody's surprised that there's an uprising, an artist uprising. And then Dana's there out of nowhere. All of a sudden, she's in the arm link.
Oh, right.
And she's just there.
She's there.
I don't know how she got there.
She was going to practice.
She should be. She's a professional tennis player.
But that's where she was leaving when...
Oh, when she left Tanya.
Mm-hmm. So she left the courts.
She left her training.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Somebody bumps into Bette. Candace butches out a little.
Huh?
You know, Candace is like, get off her.
Does she do that?
She had to show... Yeah, it's she had to kind of show...
It's a,
you know.
It's, okay, we're not
and
there
then,
yet. But.
And then the cop cars arrive. They open the back. And then we... And then
Hold
it turns
on. You
into
were,
the
you, no, no, no. You were missing... The best part.
Okay. I'm
when
sorry.
The guy shows, when the guy is fighting with the artist about the work and the cop comes over, first of all, there's only 2 cops to take care of this entire protest, right. Number one.
Yeah.
Then the cop comes over and the protester, the Puritan, says, do you know what she did? And then the cop looks at the girl disgusted and arrests the artist, and suddenly we're in Gilead.
Yeah.
And we all get loaded into the paddy wagon.
Yeah. And if you remember that day, there were when the camera panned back, I think there were like 30 extras. And they were like, listen, you guys, we need to make it feel really scary and really, you know, like heightened. And we're all like, okay. And so they kept having to like have all the background like push into us. And we were like, ah. and everybody had to get really upset. And then the cops had to show up. And
I just like how the cop just
was
able
within
like within this cop within 3 seconds of arriving was able to fully understand what this guy was
Jesus getting.
By.
Yeah, I know.
He was like, oh God, horrible concept.
And he's like, get him in the car. Load him up.
Load him up. Oh, Christ.
Okay, so we're in the bandwagon, cop wagon. What do you call it? We're in the
paddy wagon.
The paddy wagon. And everyone's been arrested.
Why did we get arrested? What the fuck did we do? We just linked some arms and we're standing there. But that's what I'm saying. It was Gilead. They arrested all of us.
Yeah, da, 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 da. That's how it felt. Anyway, okay, so then we're in the back. And then they turned it into, which was supposed to be like a throwback to what do you call those? What do you call those?
Campy prison films?
Yeah, like a camp. But there were.
Wait a minute. Before we go to prison, did we talk about Marina going to Kit? I don't know if we got to that.
What do you mean going to Kit?
There was a point when Robin, Melissa, am I off with my time frame? So we skipped that part.
We really skipped it. So she needs the money and she went to Kit. Okay, that was that was page one.
When Marina's date mm-hmm. is failing miserably because Robin can see through it all, thankfully, mm-hmm. then she sees Kit. Remember, yeah. and she's like, "Oh, can you?" I guess my point of bringing
you should
this,
be a partner with me.
Well, no. Before she says that, she's basically asking Kit to go to everyone she knows to ask for money, mm-hmm. and I'm bringing this up because Marina's the kind of person that ruins the joy of doing a favor.
How come?
Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
because
Kit's like, let me try to help you. And she's like, oh, well, you could ask Bet. And Kit's like, I don't think I can. No, but you can. She has money. And Kit's like, ah, I can't. And you know when you do a favor for someone?
Yeah.
And there's a joy in helping a friend.
Of course.
But when that friend starts to, like, give them an inch and they start taking a mile,
yeah.
the joy of service is kind of ruined.
I get what you're saying. She's like, oh, great. I got my foot in and now here's what I really wanted and need.
Well,
comes my greed.
We both have experienced this with people in our lives because we've talked about it where you're like, God, I hate doing favors for her because there's no
end in sight. Is that what you mean?
I do.
I know what you mean.
Do you follow?
Yeah, I follow.
Do you have something in your eye?
I did for a second.
Okay.
I was trying to let it go, but
well, thanks for bringing it up. That's okay. And Kit is the most adorable person. She's the nicest character on this whole show. And she's like, I don't know.
I didn't really mean that I was going to go to my sister and ask her
and
for
you're, now you're pressuring me.
Now you're into my family business.
Yeah. And it's also awkward to ask for that. Like, I don't know. It was just all.
Okay. All right. You guys, that was on page one. So can we go back to jail?
Now, yes, please. Okay. Let's go back to jail.
Okay. So, before jail, we go back to the manatees.
Oh, yes.
Here it is. It's the scene I think that even back then, a lot of people were like, huh? Right?
Oh,
this was
no
a
question.
Very talked about, like, what just happened? Where did the L word just go? I remember on message boards back then, because that's all we had. There was no social media or, you know, and I remember this was the scene and this just Jenny watching the manatees. And it was sort of like out of left field.
And Jenny and this guy comes over, Gene Feinberg. And he shares a story about manatees, which mm-hmm. then goes back to the teaser.
Sorry.
Is that you?
Yeah. I just saw my phone. I forgot to turn that off.
And he goes back to the story, like his story, what he's saying is the teaser of the episode. And that's why I was wondering where the fuck are the manatees? Because it was dolphins.
But yeah, no, we went over that.
I know, but
I don't know.
But I'm just addressing that's
okay.
Why I was curious where the hell
the manatees
were.
And then they talk to each other without looking at each other.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and it's a shy, quiet scene. And he's like, can I take you for lunch?
He's cute.
He's cute.
They make sense.
But then I was like, oh, okay. So Jenny, okay. That's what I said. Oh, okay. She's okay.
What did you say?
My thought. Exactly what I said. We're at the police station. And then we're all emptying our pockets. I enjoyed this scene. And this is my favorite.
I love the entitlement of all of us having to give our stuff over.
And I'm like, not the phone. And your flip phone is just like, and now there are a couple of props I wish I had today. One is your flip phone. The second one is the glasses that get taken from bed.
When we were planning out the reboot, figuring out props, I really wanted changes to keep the flip phone.
I know.
I wasn't interested in an iPhone. I don't think
it would work though. Literally, if you were like, if they're like, okay, Kate, we're going to give Shane the flip phone. It wouldn't work.
Well, no, because you have to get like texts and that's narrative. But in my perfect world, I like the idea of someone saying, no, I'm staying as analog as I can in the cell, in the cellular sort of world.
But nobody can reach you.
That's
like, what if you were still like, click, 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 A, click, 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 click,
no, but
T.
That's the beauty in not having an iPhone.
No,
it's
but
like, I
what
can't
if
text.
You in the reboot were doing that, but it was reaching no one, but you were just.
But the whole point is that she wouldn't be even trying. That's the whole point.
Okay. Well, you have all your office equipment.
And Shane takes, it's true.
It's very.
It's true. All the analog-y office equipment.
Oh my God.
Leisha's
favorite.
The
amount of fun I have made in that back office of your.
There's not one iPad. There's not one computer.
There's
a calculator.
Carbon copies. There's a calculator.
There's carbon copies.
You have like a giant.
Paperclip. No, those things where you fill things out, invoices, like the paper.
I know.
Invoices
with a copy. I know.
Yes.
And then like.
Oh, I have something in my eye.
And then you have, oh my God, it's so fun back there with the non-technology.
It's true. They even like a scotch tape dispenser.
It's my favorite. Okay. Anyway, so.
But Shane's giving away her bracelet. And I thought, oh, I know who was playing the voice behind the partition.
That was that was the big famous bracelet that you've been talking about?
Probably the prop girl who.
I didn't catch that.
Whose hand was like, give it to me.
Yeah. Don't put it on the.
No. I'll take it.
Yeah. I didn't catch that. And then I think I take a Rolex off and you.
We're all just very entitled and shocked that we have to remove our belongings before we go inside.
Yeah. The greatest moment is Bette has to give up the red glasses. I was like, oh shit. Oh shit. Okay. So there we go. Great. And then.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
And then now we can get into the prison stuff. Mm-hmm. Candace and Bette are separated from us because they're high risk. Like, did you see their outfits? Like, they're not even in like a
perfect,
jail in a
like,
precinct.
Sexy.
They're in a correctional facility.
I think they did. And I have to say, I think that was a choice that they did because if you look at like the, what would they be called? Like the cops that watch over them. They were doing it like an homage
I get it.
To.
They were
like,
doing the campy prison stuff.
Yes.
And the girl had the glasses on.
So I think their sexy prison outfits were like on purpose. Like we're supposed to go like, okay, now we're going to go do like a prison porn, basically.
But everything was, that's why I'm saying this episode's bonkers. Because everything was like set into reality.
And then it went into.
We immediately get into the camp of it.
I get what you're saying.
And
tonally, it was like
all over
off the rails.
And it's like their inmate outfits are brought to you by Topshop. It's just like perfectly fitted
shirt.
That's
a good one. Yeah.
It's this inmate in the back. Right. And this is the thing. And the rest of the episode, you don't see the three of us who got arrested. And this is what you wanted to talk about. We shot a food fight scene.
That's what it was. Oh my God.
We had that whole thing.
Because I was like, did we really just do nothing? Because we were there. Oh my God.
Do you remember?
Amazing.
We were sitting on a bench and we walked in. The
yes,
whole thing was that we walked in and we had plates
thing.
Of food and we're sitting there eating. We're supposed to be all sort of timid and shy.
Yes.
And then I remember mashed potatoes landed in your face.
Yeah. And then I started.
And you looked up and suddenly we start railing.
And we had the best time of our lives.
I remember one of us, mm-hmm. the food is all over the floor and one of mm-hmm. us slipped. Mm-hmm. And like ate shit and like mm-hmm. on the monitor you just saw a head fall.
And it was you, me, and Aaron.
It was just you, Aaron, and I. But they cut it.
Why did they cut that?
I don't know. Do you think they were watching it in the edit thinking, this is ridiculous. Like, let's at least like lose the food fight.
I don't know their reasons, but I'm upset right now. And if anything should be released, find the tapes.
And I remember that day because when we finished shooting, our hair.
Yeah. And we were like, that was the greatest day at work.
Because they were only able to do like a certain amount of takes because it was going to take too long to reset and get everyone cleaned up.
Yeah, it was a one take. That's easy. You throw food at each other.
But they were like, go fucking batshit. And when we were finished that day, our hair was just crusty.
Yeah.
And it was the sort of thing where you actually had to take a shower in the trailer to wash it off.
Yeah.
It
was a food fight. It was food.
Fucking cut it.
Ugh, jerks. Okay. Now I want to see that. I wonder
Me
if that's
too.
Like...
I've never seen it.
Can we call somebody? It'd be fun.
I know.
Okay. What's happening? And then the Topshop girls are having like sexual like problems. They can't stay away from each other, but it's really trying to hold on.
The dungeon of lust.
Yeah. And they play like
an alphabet game. Is this supposed to be funny?
I think it's supposed to be just like two people longing to be with each other. And we're supposed to watch Bette like, what can I do to not fuck this girl? And Candace is like, what about a word game?
Arkansas, Alaska.
That's like the thing someone, if you were on a road trip in the back and stuck for hours and someone would be like, do you want to play like a word game?
No, what's that license plate game?
Something or like hit the padiddle. That's that or like.
Or I spy.
Yeah, it's that shit.
Fuck no.
And it's, but still wants to fuck her after they get to Z. Yep. She's like, I still got it. I still want her. Fuck. What's wrong with this show sometimes? Okay. Then we're back with the manatees. That's it. Back with the manatees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we already talked about this. We just jumped around.
Whatever.
We stuck on it. Let's go to the planet.
Jenny and Robin are having a dinner date, and it's nice to see Jenny.
No. You have to ask Marina, ask Robin on a dinner date
in the back office. Yeah, that was deadly.
So in the office, Marina's doing her like smirk and her things. She's doing her things.
Marina cannot read social
cues.
She cannot read social cues.
No, that's a good way to put it. She can't. Because Robin's like...
Her one party trick. Her one party trick is not working.
And she's like, no. She's like, come. I have a book for you. It's the... I can't remember the name of this fucking book.
I just had it a second ago.
The Eros of Bittersweet. And Robin's like, oh, cool.
She's like, yeah, I'm good. I don't really read that much. I'm, you know.
She didn't say that, but she was like, eh.
And then Marina,
she dabbles in reading.
And then Marina's like, well, since you won't read it, let me.
Let me quote it. There's a great quote.
And
from
Marina's
it.
Like, can you not?
No, Robin's like, cuts her off. Like, that's good. And then she's like, well, how about you could pick up the book tomorrow. I'll leave it here for I have an extra copy. And she's like, I'm good. I'll get it in a couple of days.
I'm actually busy. I have a date. I like Robin
in this scene for that reason alone.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did they know, like, were they wrapping up Marina's storyline? Because it seems sort of like all of a sudden she can't catch a girl. She can't keep the planet financially. She's sort of like.
It's certainly feeling that
desperate.
Way. Well, we're.
And I'm like, did they know?
Well,
they wrapped up the story.
This is the end of the season. There's one more to do.
That's what I mean.
And so they were clearly making decisions at this point.
That's
the only thing I can.
Large decisions.
Logically follow.
Right. I wonder.
Well, Marina also. You're kind of sensing it's like, oh, okay, you served your purpose. Like,
well, we talked about that. We were like, it wouldn't be a continuous story with Marina and Jenny. We've told that and they've told that. So maybe they felt like once that was told, it's, you know, but they could have stuck with Marina and her life at the planet and whoever she dates next, and much like all the other characters on the
Outward. But we're starting to see, I'm starting to see like a very strong pattern with this character. Like she does the same thing to everyone she meets. And I don't really need to see 6 years of that.
I wonder, did she move to like Idaho?
Do you disagree with me?
No. No, I mean, I think you can take any character and like write them either into a corner or...
What I'm saying is I feel like she's sort of put into a corner at this point.
That's what I mean, but I think they might have done it on purpose. They're like, oh, let's make her do the same shtick, but it doesn't work. It's like a clever way to exit the character, but I didn't know if they knew or so then we're back at the police station in the lobby and
Can you answer my question? How does Ivan know everything that's going on in Kit's life? They met
all
last night. Is he like a psychic empath? during the day?
I think so. And he knew about the peanut butter cups, which I was like,
and he knew
that's like, a great snack to offer. I would think anybody in a police station lobby
they met,
would enjoy Reese's peanut butter cup.
They met, say, less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah. And it, yeah. Ivan's a very big person in Kit's life all of a sudden.
The psychic empath.
Well.
I love Ivan.
You know what? I'm never into like hairdos where, like, you know, because Ivan wears the pompadour as the drag king.
Yeah. And he has a tooth.
I love the tooth. But then like, I always wanted one of those.
You did?
I did. I always wanted like actually a cracked tooth and a gold tooth. I don't know why. I cracked my tooth. Doesn't matter.
A few years ago, I cracked my tooth and I didn't think anyone noticed. And you were like, did you crack your tooth?
Of course. I'm very into teeth.
And I said,
I have a
yeah.
tooth thing.
And you're, and I was embarrassed by it. And you go, oh, it's cute. Meanwhile, no, I had like a whole gash
the more
in the tooth.
Fucked up teeth are, like Patricia Arquette to me is like, those are dreamy teeth.
Yeah.
Like if there's like a twisted tooth or a gap, like a gap in
your
middle
like
teeth.
The Lauren Hutton gap.
I'm gone. I'm a goner. Or like, I like that stuff. I like imperfection. Anyway. So I like the, I like, anyway, when you have, so Ivan wears the pompadour, but then Ivan has to wear the pompadour in real life, which I was like, I just kind of wish Ivan was like natural hair, but I don't know.
But
I'm
we see
Ivan.
Ivan, but when we, when Bet, I mean, when Kit meets Ivan at the planet the following day, Ivan has.
A pompadour.
No, like the wig is off and the hair is down.
That's what I mean, but it's up, it's like up and then it's like slicked on the sides.
Right.
So I felt like, oh, move away. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Peanut butter cups. Oh, then Franklin walks in, the guy from CAC, and he's like, I'm here for Bette Porter. Can you hurry it up? I'm going to bail her out. And Kit's like, who's that? I'm Franklin. Who cares about any of that? I was like, who cared about the exchange?
That's deep.
Okay, then... They're back in the dungeon
in
of
the
lust.
Dungeon of lust. Oh, thank God.
Okay, so we're back. The alphabet game is over.
You do realize
that's still turned on.
They invented sexting.
They invented sex.
They invented sexting. They're talking to each other without phones. I hope that if we have a third season,
interesting.
There's a moment where Angie gets caught sending inappropriate texts to Jordy. And Bette can launch you into a speech saying, back in my day, we had to sit in a room.
We didn't have phones.
And we had to talk to each other without touching each other. Like, I truly hope that's the case. They invented
sexting. You should have tried that without a phone. It's a lot hotter.
I put mine in a dungeon. She'd turn into like grandpa from a...
Okay. So anyway, there. And then Bette's like, I don't know what to do now because she's about to fuck her. And she's like, let's do math.
Well, Bette's the first person in television history to fucks a wall.
Well, okay. So then the math must have been over. And I was like, I just thought of gross things a couple of times in this episode. One with the amount of people Shane fucked. Yep. And the second time was when Bette's lips were touching and licking the side of a prison wall.
Fucking the wall.
And I was like, fine with the mask.
This is the beauty of
standing
the L-word.
Up masturbating.
This
that's
is the
fine,
best
but
part.
Don't
you have
touch
the
your lips.
You have the absurdity and you have the realism all combined into one hour of television.
And it's like your choice. Like,
Which one do you prefer tonight?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You get both all in one.
And it's a mixed bag. It's for everybody.
It's kind of the beauty of the show.
It's true.
Because it embraces it. I don't think the show is trying to make you feel like this is a real circumstance. It's fucking absurd. But they're not trying to say, no, we're taking this seriously too. They're in on the joke.
Right. That's a good point. We were all kind of, I mean, I don't want to call it a joke, but we're all kind of, I mean, I don't know.
Mm-mm. We all knew it was a joke back then.
We knew
always.
That was it. Yeah.
We always knew.
But I just was like, oh, Bette, you're going to get sick tonight. You're going to get sick from the wall. But anyway, they both masturbate. One in bed, one on the wall. And
sexting.
Then the officer's like, hey, Bette, with her red glasses, you've been bailed out.
Have we gotten to the dinner?
Do you think she got the glasses
Wait a second.
Back?
Are you diving around? What about, did we miss the dinner date with
No, Jenny's shed. Here we go. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to go in order.
No, go. It's Jenny's shed. The niçoise has been served.
They're having a beautiful dinner in the tool shed.
And
but I like that Jenny's having a dinner with a nice person and
super sweet, a circus performer.
And Jenny,
not just a nice person.
Did you catch the thing with Jenny though? Like she tells her story how she was 13 and it's the first time we learn she's a survivor.
Yeah, I know.
That's poignant.
It was very poignant. And Robin was a very nice person to receive the news and treated her very kindly.
100%.
And it was great. She shared something. And then you see Tim or you hear Tim. Another character I think they must have known, like, all right, wrap the story up.
Yep,
because all of a sudden he goes from the person who's eating bread, you know, 20 minutes ago and like, oh, who you're going on a date. That's nice. And he's very warm and accepting and he's a really nice guy. For how he's been treated.
He's just having a shitty moment.
To like a douchey, like frat boy with the worst friends.
No, he's not being a shitbag though. His friends are ridiculous.
I know, but why does he, Tim would not have those friends.
No, he would not.
That's what I'm talking about. So they're like, oh, and then they have like Hesher music playing and they have like, you know, like headbanger. It's just very like,
I just think it's interesting that was going on while Jenny is sharing this intimate part of her life, because that's a huge aspect to her storyline for
major.
The next five seasons.
Yeah.
And you're right. Robin is the right person to share that with.
Exactly. But then to cut away to Tim and his...
Nah.
I didn't buy it. I was like, I don't know if I buy that Tim hangs out with them.
And Jenny...
And he wouldn't allow... Even though he's like, hey, guys, stop it. I'm jumping. I did just jump. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And Jenny's dating pool between Marina, Tim, Marina, Robin. We know Jean is coming around. Like they cast the net wide. She doesn't have a type.
That's really true.
I like that about her.
Yeah.
It's all about what's inside.
What's inside.
Anyway, that's my
big point.
Okay. That's my pearl of wisdom for that one.
So... Is Bette done being horny? She's done. It's over.
Tina and Oscar show up to the precinct. And thank Christ for Oscar, because no one was going to bail us out. You realize
nobody
that?
Thought of
no
us.
No one gave a shit. Franklin cared about Bette. Candace would come in tow with Bette.
The editor obviously didn't care about us.
No, certainly not.
Get rid of those scenes.
We don't need them.
Who's bailing them out? Doesn't matter.
And then Ivan and Kit are there, and Tina meets... Kit introduces Tina to Ivan, and Tina calls Ivan a pronoun and then apologizes. And Ivan's like, no, it doesn't matter. And so Ivan is fluid.
Ivan said, I prefer both.
He was just fluid. He's like, you know, he's laid back, but because you're like, what's Ivan?
Who's Ivan?
Who's Ivan?
Yeah. And Bette and Tina do like a hug, and Tina's like, oh, hey, Candace, I remember you. And Bette's told me a lot about your work, your carpentry, and
I hear you're great with drywall.
And then you just feel bad for Tina.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Bette, you didn't touch her, but you touched her.
And then Shane.
She fell from grace.
Shane.
Wait, we're not there. You're the last cute little baby at the...
Well, no, because everyone's leaving.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, hey, I think I'm going to kick back.
We're getting rides. We're like, oh, I live in... Here's also what was funny to me. We're very like, we live in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then Oscar's like, well, I live... Oh, no. Candace is like, well, I live in Silver Lake, as though it's like this rare place that we're like,
I live in Silver Lake.
Silver Lake.
Back then it may have been.
And then Oscar's like, well, I actually live in Los Feliz. And it was like all these like, we're supposed to be like, ooh. And then we look at them like, oh, they live on the east side. And then we all get rides to, you know, our places.
Like the Californians.
Exactly. And then Shane's like, you know what? I might have a ride.
For the character that's supposed to be so tapped into the human experience, why the fuck does she think Sherry's going to come and rescue her?
Not only that, why would you stay at a police station lobby as a choice?
And
she
chooses to wait until 3 a.m. because then there's a clock thing at the end and she's the last person.
It's so dumb. You would have been like, can I get a ride home?
I mean, I understand
Sherry, I'm home. Come get me here.
We're finally seeing like, you know, this character's vulnerability. It's starting to scratch the surface, but.
I didn't like, and then
where's
just seeing.
Where's the logic?
You just looked. It made me think like, that's dumb. That's what I thought.
It just doesn't make sense.
What are you doing? Is what I want to say to the TV.
Yeah. I think I said that to the TV.
You had a ride.
Like, no wonder she hasn't
been 5 hours ago.
She has abandonment issues, and I completely understand now. I mean, like, she made that choice.
You're abandoning yourself. People are offering rides, and you're like, no.
Is that the conclusion of this? Is there anything we...
That's it.
Oh, no. And what? Also, the good scene is when...
The good scene.
Good scene. Sorry, that's real.
The good scene.
That's a statement. No, we missed a Tim and Jenny moment, too. When they finally have a conversation at the end, and he actually is listening to her without getting defensive and weird. And
right. And sweet.
Anyway. Trippy episode.
Locked up.
What do you think?
It had its ups and downs. You know what I mean? I was there, I wasn't there. I was there, I wasn't there. I would say, okay, overall, I wasn't there.
I wasn't there at all.
Oh.
I wanted to, though. Because I remember
I think coming off the Dinosaur episode, exactly. It's like you're like...
Exactly. You came off such a high and then it... But...
But I love all of it anyway. I'm still like, oh... The locked up episode, 100%. The prison episode.
Listen, you can't win them all.
You still love it.
You can't win them all.
No.
It's okay.
I'd like to talk to the editor.
Me too. I'd like to know what happened to that scene.
Who that was.
You'd think that would have been part of like the DVD. Remember when DVDs exist and there was a blooper reel or a deleted scene?
Talk about a deep cut. There's one right there.
A deep cut.
Because I would enjoy
I have a photo, actually.
What?
I used to have a photo. From someone on crew, maybe it was costumes or makeup or someone who took a photo of us that day and we're covered in food.
You need to find that because that's cool.
I don't know if I have it, but I remember I did at one point in my life see that thing.
You still have that.
I know. If I come across it, I'll share it with you guys. How were we, Melissa? Did we stay on track with a...
Edited the prison episode. You wouldn't have cut us out.
No.
You know
no.
what to keep and
did
what to
Did we stay
rid
in
of.
Line with everything in order?
We're, for the most part, yeah.
Did we skip anything exciting?
Except for like the phone call scene.
What phone call scene?
When you guys were making phone calls to like your one phone call in prison.
Oh, right. And Shane chooses Sherry. Oh,
fuck. Well, everything,
I did
everyone
like,
had a date.
I did
that,
like everybody, the phone call scene.
But everybody she knows is arrested anyway. Mm-hmm. So what difference
I'm glad does you brought that up because I did enjoy that, what everyone was talking about. I thought that was very cute.
It was good.
Very specific.
Yeah. Did we forget anything else?
Nope.
Okay, great. Look at us.
Did we do
pants.
Okay?
You did great.
Hey, let's not forget about our merch.
Pants.
And let's not forget about, I thought that was the song playing.
Really?
I did. I was like, it's queued up. It was you.
Digga, 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 digga,
digga, digga, digga. You're on the right, I think the right key. If we were to play it right now, it would be. Okay, so we're going to answer some questions. We're going to do a throwback to before we were recapping to.
Well, we're going to go back to questions in the next, after in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just getting warmed up
again. No, we're first going to have Marja, the new showrunner, yes. creator of Generation Q, on our podcast. Right. And we would love for you to call in, to write in any Please. Question you have, anything you would like to say. We're going to have her on and we're excited to have your questions answered. So please.
I want my prop.
You want your prop? And that's going to happen. And then we're going to start, you know.
So we do the finale. We have Marja. And then we go back.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
because
the schedule.
The finale of Gen Q.
Mm-hmm.
So weird how we lined that up. How did we do that?
I don't know. What do you mean?
I'm saying we're going to recap the finale of the original first season. And this weekend is the finale of Generation Q in the same week. We like it's like we knew, but we didn't know. We didn't know.
We did.
No, we did not know to plan it like that. You don't get what I'm saying. I'll explain it later.
Do you agree with Leisha?
We planned it out.
Yeah, we did.
Whatever. So sure. I didn't know that. We did.
You were there.
I was shocked. I thought that was so cool that it ended up like that.
Mm.
Just leave me in the clouds. I'm happy up here. Listen, that's going to be fun. So call in, write in.
Look, shiny thing.
Call in, write in, and We're going to ask Mark. We're not even going to vet your questions.
No, we're just going to
We're just going to turn mm-hmm. that mic on and it's going to be a great conversation.
We work on the show, so we don't really have to ask anything. But I know you have questions. And a lot of the times we can't answer them because honestly, we don't know the answers. So now this is your platform. Don't be shy.
It's all you. It's like a highway.
It's not even about us on that episode. It's about you.
Think of it like a highway.
Huh?
Like a gay highway from the creator of the show to you. Like a phone line. It is a phone line. Okay. Anyway, let's get on to the
wrap it up.
Here we go.
Q&As.
Let's do Q&As. Oh, we get to bring people up here, whoever wants to come.
Oh, yeah. Is anyone shy?
We've got somebody.
We do?
We do?
Yeah.
We've got Frida.
Come on out on stage.
Hi, come on. Show your face.
Hey. Hi. Okay, where are you from?
I'm in LA right now. I just moved from Chicago like 3 months ago.
How do you like
Welcome.
It?
Welcome.
It's cool. Lots of traffic. It's not like the L word teleportation thing.
No one has supersonic cars in real life, do they?
Don't move here thinking it's like that.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
Mm-mm. Don't go to the CAC and help bet, protest. You'll be stuck in traffic for hours.
I don't want to get arrested.
But you know what? LA's really spread out and you're going to like get to find like your friends and people. It's very hidden. You have to like find your
places.
You have
to be patient. It takes
a minute.
Yeah. It's not like New York where it's just right there waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's your question?
She's like, great.
Okay. So my question. Wow. It is written out here. Kind of long. I am 24 and my life is a hot mess right now. Listening to your podcast makes me wish I was 40 and had a better sense of who I am mm-hmm. and what's important to me. Sometimes I feel better when I hear from the people I admire that they also do not have their shit together at some point. So what were you guys like in your 20s? And are there moments where you look back and think, yikes?
The 20s are a tough decade. You got to get, I'm assuming you're in your 20s.
24.
Okay. You got to give yourself a break. 20s are like sort of a test run and you got to be patient with yourself. And I don't think people in that decade do that enough. Do you agree?
I don't think you know yet. I think there's so much pressure put on you. Like when you finish school, it's like, what do you want to be? What are you going to do? Where are you working? What did you do? And it's like, I don't even know who I am.
I thought you were asking me for a second.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. No, that's what it feels like, I think.
Also, you can experience a lot of firsts in your 20s. And that's the time to try things out. Like 20s, in my opinion, is like the decade where it's like, it's an excuse. Like, but she's in her 20s. When you get to the 40s, you don't really have that excuse anymore. Does that make sense? So be patient and kind with yourself because
definitely.
I guarantee you it's going to get better. And there is that saying where like youth is wasted on the young.
Yeah.
Because as you get older, you're like, fuck, if I only did that then.
Or if I knew, oh my God.
If I knew better then.
But yes, if anybody answers that question with, no, it was amazing.
They're lying.
That's the whole point.
That's all bullshit.
And that's kind of the point of life. I mean, it doesn't ever really stop. You shouldn't really ever stop learning. I mean, it's...
No, well, you won't.
But yeah.
Give yourself a break right now.
Yeah. But you seem amazing. Like, and, you know, you're in LA and it's a wonderful city. It's full of lots of...
You made a big move. That's a big deal.
That's hard.
I moved to LA when I was 25.
Yeah, you did.
So I understand that. It's a big deal. I came from New York, so that was a big culture shock.
I moved exactly at 25, too. I moved here. I forgot.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it takes a minute to find your tribe of people. Be patient if you haven't already. And
Do you have friends here?
A couple of people, but they're like all over the place.
That's
like
yeah.
no one is, they're just like traffic, you know?
Right. Did you move here for a reason outside of just you wanted to move here? Or do you have some sort of base
for acting?
Oh, amazing.
For acting.
Well, you're in the right city.
Or you're in the right spot. You're in the right spot.
Yeah. I mean, just follow your heart. I mean, it sounds so cheesy. I can't believe I just said that, but it's true. I think it's kind of what you always have to do.
I say be patient.
But we wish you the best of luck.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good luck.
And it was very nice meeting you.
Drive safely.
Nice meeting you too. Thanks.
Take care.
Okay. You too.
Awesome. So next we have Francesca.
Yes. Is Francesca joining us on the video?
Yeah.
All right, Francesca.
Not the not Marina's girlfriend, right?
I don't think Lolita Davidovich is logged into the virtual live show. She might be.
Hi.
Hey. How are you?
How you feeling?
Fine. A little nervous.
Don't be nervous, please.
Don't be nervous.
Okay, so I'm from Uruguay and I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
I watch The Wow. L World.
Thank
and
you.
I love it. And I listen to your podcast. And so I wanted to ask, if you two had met in school, do you think you would have been friends?
We
That's
met
a
in
great
school.
Great question.
Would we have been friends? Do you know how less alone I would have felt in my childhood if I knew you?
Which, let's pick an eight. Well, it doesn't matter.
Pick a grade.
Any age I met you, I would have been drawn to you exactly the same way I was when I saw you at whatever age we were.
Back at you.
Yeah. No, I think it's like that.
I would have seen you across the classroom, the playground, the park. And
you made
it
sound.
And I would have said, that's my person. Who is she?
Yeah. Agreed.
And my parents would be so grateful because you know how much my mom loves you.
You know what? I always heard from my friends' parents. They're like, you know what I love about her? She loves to eat.
That's what I always got as a
kid.
You
did too?
They're like, I love having Kate over. She has such a healthy appetite.
Yeah, I would eat.
I would eat out their house.
Same.
Like, I would like, they would have nothing left.
But anyway, I mean.
That's so wrong. Do you have to sexualize?
I didn't. You said it.
But you went there.
Listen, we have a connection. I don't think any age would have changed it. And the only thing that would have changed is what we were getting into at the time.
Like, true.
If we were friends in, you know, junior high, we would have most definitely like tried smoking together or like skipping school.
I got in trouble as a kid. Did you get in trouble?
No, I was good. I did. I had a moment. It was very short lived.
Okay.
I had a friend that, you know, probably like took me in the wrong direction for a minute. My mom nipped it in the bud. It was short.
Yeah, I was a fairly good kid. I had moments, but
don't sound like a nightmare. Your mom would have told me. Oh, Kate was awful. And she's never, no, she loves you.
She's my mother.
Well, but she was bummed you didn't become a dancer. But outside of that, she's been fully happy.
Oh, she didn't like the fact that I was, I didn't follow in ballet.
That's what
when
I mean.
She had a daughter, she thought, and I can dress her in pink.
And she had the body for it. And
I can put her in a tutu and she can go to ballet and be everything I wasn't.
Wah, wah.
Sorry. She wore dresses and makeup.
Yeah. But we would have just had different versions of fun.
I feel like our parents, my parents and your parents, also would have been friends.
Absolutely.
Because that's always what happens, right? Like when you're a child.
Well, my parents love musical theater and they love, my dad just called me the other day. He was like a meet and Jay and Tim who I've known since I was a kid.
And although you're.
They've been a couple for like 50 years. And he was my drama teacher and best friends to my parents. And my dad still, my mom passed away and my dad still, you know, I call Jay and Tim all the time. And he's like, I'm going to the playhouse with Jay and Tim this weekend. It was last Sunday just to see something. I was like, they love theater and your mother was in theater. And I think it would have been a major connection.
And although our dads did different things, they both were in the Air Force.
Right.
Exactly. But I also think their personalities would have meshed well.
My dad wasn't an Air Force person. It's just.
No. But they they're roughly around the same age. Like my father was
he was older.
He was a little bit older, but I feel like their sensibilities, they're both super laid back. They're quiet.
Right. Yeah. My dad plays chess. Your dad painted. He made violins. My dad.
They could have played golf together.
Did your dad golf?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Once in a while. That wasn't his thing. But like, I just see our families being
it
friends.
Yeah.
And Kadra being like, shut up! Get out of my room!
Yeah.
Anyway, does that answer your question? We really went off on that.
Yes.
Okay.
Francesca fell asleep.
Francesca's like, sorry, I even bothered. Why'd I ask?
Thank you for the question.
So nice to meet you.
Very nice meeting you.
All right. Next, we've got Mona.
Mona. I know a Mona.
Hi, Mona.
How you doing, Mona?
Hi. You guys are so darn cute. quick question. What would be your friendship song if you had to choose one?
Oh, that's a rough one. I'm so bad at these on the spot.
I know what it is, Mona. I know what it is.
You guys took your time with the other one.
I'm so bad. All right.
Yeah. You're going to be like, of course. There was a song that Kate and I used to have. I hate to say it because my character drove one, but I had a Mini Cooper. And it was a convertible.
I love that.
I know.
But they're great cars. They're great engines.
I loved it. I had it for 8 years, but I just always felt a little cheesy because my character drove one. But
if it makes you feel any better, for many years I drove a Jeep.
I know.
So
what was wrong with us?
We like the cars.
We like the cars. And I had never had a convertible.
Do you still drive a Jeep in this new one?
Say again?
Do you still drive a Jeep?
Don't you drive a Jeep in the new one?
I do.
Reboot?
Yeah, but Kate drove a Jeep.
But I personally drove a Jeep.
And then you feel cheesy because you're like, I'm not. I didn't do this on purpose.
The show was over when I had my Jeep. But anyway, that's beside the point. Go ahead.
I was currently shooting the L Word when I had my Mini. And it was a convertible, and I was so excited because it was my first car that I was like, you know, like, oh, I have a paycheck. I'm going to get a car. And I had the top down, and I used to make you guys do top because I don't like the sun. So like in Vancouver, there'd be like an overcast day. And I was like, let's get in the convertible and put the top down. It's overcast. Uh-huh. And you and I would get in that car, and we played that damn song by Phoenix called If I Ever Feel Better. And
damn.
You
I love
and
that
I,
song.
And I'll it's never forget favorite. It because we and then it would stop and we'd play it again. It would stop, we'd play it again.
It's the best song.
And we'd have the top down and we were like two like cheesy people in Vancouver.
What happened to Phoenix? What happened to that band? They had such a moment and then what the fuck? That was a great
I haven't looked into it, but
okay, well
here's my song.
Here's my answer. It's not a song though.
Oh.
It's not a song. When I first met Leisha, we were shooting the pilot and we had a rental car in Vancouver. And during one of our many days off, because we barely worked during the pilot, Leisha's like, hey, let's go for a drive and check out the city. I was like, okay, cool. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, but we were listening to the Cars album, one of the Cars albums. I can't remember what it was called. And we used to crank that and blast it going over the Kitsilano Bridge.
I remember that. That's a good one. Is this itchy tickling you?
Yeah.
Does that feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it better? Anyway, we would crank that and we would just sing it. And then
we were really into cranking music and singing one song over and over.
But it was the Cars album. And so anytime I hear the Cars music, I instantly
think of
you.
I know what song it was. It's going to kill me.
What is it? My Best Friend's Girlfriend.
I'm a few bars.
My Best Friend's Girlfriend.
I'm a few bars.
My Best Friend's Girlfriend.
Yeah.
It was that. Or it was just.
In Cars.
That. That's not Cars anyway.
Right. No, what is the song? It's their big
Just What
hit.
I Needed?
No.
Just What I Needed.
It's the big one. It's just a lot of, it's clapping like what you just did, but it's not that
Yeah,
one.
It was that. It was
What's
that.
Their major hit? Like the
no,
major
that,
hit.
No, but that album had like four major hits on it.
No, but the number one major hit.
They
it's
all
like,
were
I would
major
say
hits.
Top of the top cards. It's
did
that
Did we
one.
Answer your question?
Those are our two songs we sang.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank nice to meet you, Mona.
So nice to meet you, Mona.
You as well.
Take care now. Be safe. I like this. I like seeing the
I
people.
Do too.
I like this.
It's. Uh-oh. Feels less lonely.
Yeah. So now we're going to go into some of written questions.
In our cave that we're usually in doing this on our Zoom.
I know. Right, and separated.
Ready?
Yeah, ready.
Kate, if you were the writer, would you bring Carmen back? And if so, what would her story be?
Honestly?
No, lie to us.
Absolutely.
Of
I would
course.
Definitely bring her back. I mean,
it's
I
a
would,
no-brainer.
I'd be realistic about it, though. I mean, Sarah's very
Sarah's
busy.
The greatest.
She's great, but she's also very busy.
Well, and, yeah, very.
And also,
she's at L Wet, but good for her.
But she's also, these are also two characters that haven't seen each other in what, like 15 years?
But how fun to see that.
But my point is that I wouldn't like, bring her back to rewrite history. If I could, I'd bring her back and utilize that time to.
Yeah, you'd utilize it.
No, I'd utilize that time to like tell a story of
of closure and forgiveness, mm-hmm. because how great would that be?
It'd
and
be then, amazing. Because you left her at the altar.
Thanks. Well, I didn't, yeah. But that's what I, and it would be a great trajectory for who I play. And it would be a nice bow for a character that's so.
To see where she went after
and that. And you know that Carmen probably had a great life. She has a family.
Of course,
she has
I kids. Think you guys would be, I think you'd be really good friends.
You'd that's what I'm saying. Like closure and forgiveness.
Just one episode where we see like, and maybe you bump into each other at a, you know, and library.
And it's healing. And yes. I mean.
We lesbians love healing. We love to heal. We love closure. We need.
Well, the thing about closure is that we usually in life, we have to have closure by ourselves. We have to find it by ourselves. But in the magical world of television, it just so happens that we get to, these characters get to have closure face to face with that person or thing that they need that from. So why the fuck not?
I don't know why the fuck not. But I know it wasn't asked to me, but my answer is.
It wasn't. Do you want to have closure with Carmen too?
No, I want you two to have. I want Carmen to come back.
I'm dying just for one
a blip
episode. Like one again, blip. Don't overdo it and just keep it short, sweet. Keep it classy. Keep it in relation to like where they would be, and I would love it.
All right, what you got?
So if I was the writer. Yep.
If I was a writer, I'd write her in the
Oh, are people
moment.
Writing down below? What is this?
Oh. Okay, what do you got, Melissa?
We actually have anything. One more person came in for a live one.
Can't see anything. Right.
So we've got Danny.
Danny. What's up, Danny? How you doing?
Good.
Right.
Really nice to meet you guys. I'm 21 years old.
Nice to meet you.
I live in California. I've been watching you guys' show probably since I was in high school, secretly. And been listening to the podcast. And I had a question. I wanted to know what your top 5 favorite lesbian romance movies are currently.
Another on
lesbian
the spot.
Movies. Okay.
On the spot.
So not just gay, but specifically lesbian.
Who should? Yeah. Do you want to go first?
I was a big fan of Blue is the Warmest Color. I really love the way, and I know it has like some stuff around it, which is, you know, not great. But I love the two actresses that played the just what it feels like to first fall in love with someone. Thought it was great. I'm a big Desert Hearts fan. Only because it was the first thing I ever saw and it had a big impact on me. What do you like?
5, you said?
Oh.
Is that what you said? Okay, I can do it.
3.
Ready? Ready?
2, whatever. There's not that many.
I'd say no particular order. I'd say High Art.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Bound.
Really?
Have you ever seen a film called Show Me Love?
Mm-mm.
From the 90s. It's a Swedish film. I highly recommend it. It's excellent. What would be a 4th? And I'm going to go current and say Ammonite. I'm sorry. I love Lesbians by the Sea and Petticoats. Like it's a win-win.
Okay,
you see Lesbians by the Sea in a petticoat, it's like, this is going to be a great film. There's a lot of talking. They're going to be freezing and a lot of longing glances.
Right.
Let's go with like some awesome actor.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch.
I can't think of a 5th one, though.
It's okay. 4 is great. And I need to see that. I do.
Which one?
Ammonite.
Ugh. I mean, everything is lit by one single candle. It's amazing.
Okay.
It's amazing. But what is a 4th?
Do you have one you can recommend? Danny?
I watched Gentleman Jack on the show. I liked it.
You liked it? Okay.
I'm really hung
I kind of like the older, like really far back in the day, like love interest stuff that they have to do it in secret, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The life we all lived, that one. Okay. Yeah. Well,
did we answer your question? Alicia only had 2. And I had 4.
It's hard, you know, to think off the top
I know,
of your
it's
head
tough.
Like that.
It's tough.
Thank you for your question.
Answer my question.
Thank you.
Of course. So nice to meet you. Oh, no, I have a 5th one. I got it. Amy and Jaguar.
What?
Have you seen Amy and Jaguar?
I've not seen it.
I recommend it. It's a hard watch. It'll be a puddle. You can probably only sit through it once. It's
Sounds great, Kate.
It's amazing. It'll just floor you at the end, but it's so fucking good.
Is that what you mean by puddle? Like we'll be crying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Amy and Jaguar.
Okay.
Check it out.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. Thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
Bye.
All right. That's all we have.
Is that it?
Everybody.
Yeah. You guys, we did it. This is... I can't believe... We did it.
I can't, it's hard to let go. I don't want to say
this
goodbye.
This was a lot of fun. I like this.
I do too. We're probably going to do it again.
We'll do it again.
When? We don't know. And
thank you so much for...
sitting here.
Sitting here with us. Thank you so much for being patient last night with us.
Thanks for listening to Pants.
Yeah,
honestly, because we're shocked to this day. We're still shocked that people listen. But now we know how many smart people listen. I mean, if I ever need a lawyer,
yeah.
I'm just going to text the Pants Instagram and I'm saying, I need a lawyer. And there's like 800 listeners will show up.
When I need a health screening, I'll just...
That's true. When you have a little issue,
yeah,
you can tell everybody about
it. But also tomorrow we're going to meet all of you and we're just thanking you ahead of time. Thank you for your patience. We're going to meet all of you. This is rad.
Like, I love it. Also, if we just feel like going to space,
yeah,
we can get call some Pants listeners.
Can we get shocking. Can we get a discount
to space?
I don't want to go to space. You have fun.
Oh, hi,
I don't even like getting on an airplane.
Come
I don't want to get on
that. Come say goodbye to everybody.
Come on, Banji.
Banji, let's sign out.
Say bye, Banj.
Okay.
You guys, until next time, till next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything. Thanks for listening.
To Pants.
Pants.
Thank you for listening to Pants, a podcast brought to you by myself, Kate Menig, and Leisha Haley. Produced by Melissa D. Montz. Please listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can follow Pants on Instagram at The Pants Pod. Theme song by Carolina Para of the band CSS, and graphics are by Love Fox.